I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Mix Show presents the most popular radio game on this side of the speaker. Let's play Beat Mix.
Beat Mix.
Ready to beat Migs. I know Justin from Bellevue is. Justin, are you there?
I am here.
I'm Sarah, your host, and it's time for you to get out of here, Steve.
Bye-bye.
For those playing at home, Justin has 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. You can pass all you want, but you only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Let's do this.
What team won the most recent World Series?
Dodgers.
Correct. A person trained to travel to space is called a what?
Astronaut.
Yes. When it comes to airport security, what does the T stand for in TSA?
Transportation.
Yes. The 10 highest mountain summits in the U.S. are all located where?
In the Northwest.
No.
Northeast.
No.
Alaska.
Correct. In Bob's Burgers, what is the name of Bob's wife?
Susie.
No.
Pass.
What kind of pizza has the same name as a tequila cocktail?
Margarita.
Yes. Your arm is made up of how many bones?
3.
Correct. Who is Ariel's father in The Little Mermaid?
Sebastian?
No.
Pass.
What is the official language of Greece?
Grecian.
No.
English.
No.
Spanish.
No. Rolo candies were first made in what decade?
40s.
No.
30s, 50s.
30s, yes. Dustin, you got 7 correct.
All right.
Okay, pretty good for the start of a Monday.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it's going to be close, but, you know, I'm rooting for Dustin.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Well, thank I mean, you. And Danny's not here, so Danny can't even root for Steve, so.
He's kind of on an island over there all by himself.
Yeah.
I feel so alone.
You should. Steve, are you ready?
Oh, yeah!
What team won the most recent World Series?
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
You know it. A person trained to travel to space is called a what?
An explorer.
No.
An astronaut.
Yes. When it comes to airport security, what does the T stand for in TSA?
Travel?
No.
Transportation.
Yes. The 10 highest mountain summits in the U.S. are all located where?
In Colorado?
No.
What? Question again?
The 10 highest mountain summits in the U.S. are all located where?
In North America.
No.
Pass.
In Bob's Burgers, what is the name of Bob's... Yes! Ugh. In Bob's Burgers, what is the name of Bob's wife?
Barbara?
No. I wish.
I don't know. I have no idea. No, I'm pass.
What kind of pizza has the same name as a tequila cocktail?
Margarita.
You know it. Your arm is made up of how many bones?
3.
Yes. Who is Ariel's father in The Little Mermaid?
Phil.
No.
I don't know. Excalibur.
No.
Nemo.
No. What is the official language of Greece?
Greek.
Yes. Wow.
That was like a trick question.
It was not. And Steve, with that, you get 7 correct, which is a tie. 7-7. Hey, it's better than losing.
It is better than losing.
That's true.
That's positive attitude right there.
Right? He didn't guess Greek for Greece.
Oh,
I know.
He might be kicking himself over that
yeah.
one. Where did he guess?
Grecian, English, and something else. In Bob's Burgers, what is the name of Bob's wife? I don't think I've ever seen an episode of this show either, and Dustin hadn't. It's Linda.
Linda, yeah. Oh. Have you ever watched Bob's Burger?
No,
yeah.
And then, who is the Ariel's father in The Little Mermaid?
King Triton.
Yes.
King Triton, that was his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was kind of good looking.
Was this a...
That's pretty rich.
This is an animated cartoon character that you You thought about Sharon?
Maximum Gains.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And, did he have a big beard?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Long like hair. You know I like the hippies.
Yeah. You like swole hippies.
So he kind of looks like your husband now, but just
yes,
an animated cartoon.
Whiter hair. More gray.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, and on the juice.
Yes.
Congrats on tying Dustin, Steve.
Migs, you were in Portland over the weekend and had a strange run-in with a kid.
I did. I've had a lot of strange run-ins with kids at these wrestling events, but this one actually led me to telling him that he's a disappointment to his parents.
Wow.
Because what he did was just so great and so epic.
We're going to find out what happened after Guns N' Roses.
The Daily Migs Show.
Steve Migs, it seems like every time you go and do any wrestling event, you come back with wild stories. And apparently you had a crazy run-in with a 10-year-old wrestling fan in Portland this weekend.
This has truly become my favorite part about going to on these trips to Portland, because the Portland fans are kind of unhinged. They're just out of their minds. And their kids are even crazier. So over the course of time that I've been doing this wrestling thing, as I'm in the ring or just at the merch table, I've had kids yell at me. I've had kids flip me off almost every show. That happens quite a bit, which is super funny because like these kids are like 7 or 8 and they're just flipping the bird right in front of their parents, who are also flipping the bird. So, you know, they learn from their parents. Kids have spat at me. They've thrown things at me. They've kicked me in the shins. But this is easily the first time that this has happened to me. And I thought it was the funniest thing. And I was impressed by his creativity and just like how clever he was. So this little kid, I think maybe 10 or 11 years old. He comes up to me. So during intermission or before the show or after the show, a lot of us just stand at the merch tables. So you're trying to sell like T-shirts, 8x10s, take pictures with the fans, whatever it may be. So all the kids get like flyers for the show and they all come up and they get autographs from all the wrestlers, which is kind of cool. It's like a cool moment to be able to meet these kids. So this kid comes up to me. He's got his flyer. And he says, "Do you have a marker?" I'm like, "Yeah, I have a Sharpie." So I hand him my Sharpie. Oh, he says, "Can you sign this for me?" I'm like, "Absolutely." So I sign the poster. And I give it back to him. He says, "Can I borrow your Sharpie?" And I'm thinking, oh, he wants to get an autograph from the wrestler next to me because sometimes they don't have Sharpies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure thing. Here you go. So he has the Sharpie now in his hand, and he proceeds to cross my name out. And then just looks at me like he wants to murder me. And I was like, what the hell? And he leaves with my Sharpie.
Oh,
I was so pissed.
You got burned, Steve.
Yeah, so while the match was going on, the match ends and I'm leaving. I see him and he made a sign that's insulting me with my Sharpie. So, of course, I look at him. I tell him that he's a giant disappointment to his parents and that if I was his dad, he would never do something like that.
Wow.
That's right. I showed him. So I go, yesterday, I'm telling Tatum the story.
About you and a kid getting in a fight.
Yeah, so I was like, I wanted to get her 2 cents on what happened and how she feels about this whole incident. And here's what Tatum had to say.
So, yeah. Yesterday I was wrestling, and I was wrestling at this event, and this kid, he was like 10 years old, and he came over to me, and he had a poster, and he said, "Hey, can you sign this?" And he wanted me to sign the poster.
That's silly.
Okay, first of all, thanks for shaming me. She's like, "Why would somebody want to get your autograph, Dad? That's completely stupid."
Right? So then I signed the poster, and he says, "Can I borrow your marker?" And I was like, "Sure thing." And then he took my marker, and he crossed my name out, and he laughed at me.
None came out and said that to you?
No kids ever asked for my autograph.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just ended it right there. No kids ever asked for my autograph.
And then crossed my name out.
Yeah. Why did he say, "Can I borrow your water?" And he like crossed it out. I hope he doesn't come ever again
Oh, you don't want him to come at all? Okay.
Yeah, she's just like full on, just blackball this kid.
I think she's ready to run security for you.
She'll bring her now.
As long as he's being well behaved, I think it's okay.
But if he does that, Dad, nope.
But you don't mess with my dad, all right?
It's the last time it happened, buddy.
Let's play.
Okay.
Let's stop talking. Let's just play now.
Let's stop talking and let's just play?
Yeah.
Okay. Less talk, more play. All right, I got the forks.
And I got the spoon.
And we're catching butterflies?
Yeah, hold it.
What? The butterflies with a fork?
A fork and spoons. Did Harry come up with stupid games that you're just like, I don't understand what we're doing, but sure, let's go.
All the time.
So she made a paper butterfly, and I had to hold 2 forks, and she had to hold 2 spoons. And I had to throw the butterfly with my 2 forks, and she had to catch it with the 2 spoons.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. So I would think then when she catches it, she could then throw it back to me. But no, then we had to switch. so that she had the forks, because the forks are only the throwers and the spoons are the catchers.
Well, now I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
The butterfly game.
Yeah, the butterfly game. It's like, it's very popular in Canada.
The Seahawks lost a very tough game in overtime yesterday, Rockaholics.
They lost the butterfly game.
They lost that too. But we're going to chat with Mitch Levy, get his thoughts on the game. He is the host of Mitch Unfiltered, and he will join us at 7:20.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He is the host of Mitch Unfiltered, which you can hear wherever you listen to your podcasts or at MitchUnfiltered.com. Good morning, Mitch Levy, as we wipe tears from our eyes after yesterday's overtime loss to the Rams.
Morning.
It is not a good morning.
Oh, my God.
Mitch, I'm really curious how you felt, too. I mean, I was bummed after that Bills game. It was embarrassing. It was a tough one to watch. But, yesterday's game was like a punch to the gut, and I was just bummed for the rest of the day because of that one.
Yeah, because you felt like you should have won yesterday's game. And there was really not a part. Well, maybe there was a point early in the game against the Bills where you had fooled yourself into believing that this team could go 12-5. I don't know who was it that told me this team was going to go 12-5.
Well, I mean, I did predict them to lose yesterday in my little sheet that I started at the start. I've been wrong on a couple of the other ones, but there's still hope, Mitch.
Yeah. Eight in a row. They got to finish on an 8-game winning streak, and they finished 12-5. And Migsy's right yet again. But yes, yes, there are certain days that I come on, certain Mondays that I come on with you beautiful people that I just can't wait for Soundgarden to interrupt.
Oh.
I just can't wait for the song. When does the... Jason, where's the song, for God's sake?
Mitch,
no, it was bad yesterday.
Can I tell you what happened yesterday? I was wearing my Seahawks earrings, and one of them just snapped. It didn't fall out. The entire earring just broke, and I think that was foreshadowing.
Oh. When did it happen?
Right, like, middle of the third quarter.
Oh, jeez.
It was the earring.
It was a tough, tough loss to a divisional foe. You felt like at the end of the first half, those last 2 minutes, those were and it seems like so long ago. In fact, we did the podcast. We do the bulk of our podcast, episode 310, which is available now everywhere the podcast can be found. We do the bulk of our podcast after the games, obviously, late into the evenings on Sunday night. And watching the last 2 minutes, remember the last 90 seconds of that second quarter was so weird. The Seahawks had done nothing offensively. They throw a long ball to Tyler Lockett after the guy jumps off sides and they score a touchdown. The place goes crazy. The Rams get the ball and the Seahawks make a great interception. Tariq Woolen. I liked him better when he was Tariq. Reek Woolen. He played better when he was Tariq. I don't want to be the one to suggest maybe a name change back would be appropriate. But when he was Tariq Woolen, he was like almost an all-pro. But anyway, he makes an interception, right? Puka Nacua, one of their best receivers, maybe their best receiver, he throws a punch and gets thrown out of the game. Dude. So now one of their best players gets thrown out of the game. The Seahawks get the ball. They throw another touchdown. And it's 13-3. And the point is that those 90 seconds were so weird. And yet, so much happened after those 90 seconds in the second half and overtime that by the time we sat down to do episode 310, we didn't even talk about the weird 90 seconds at the end of the second quarter because it felt like weeks earlier. Like it was so long ago that they had that great stretch at the end of the second quarter.
I forgot
going at halftime 13-3.
I forgot all about the Puka thing, but now I'm looking back on that's how I looked after the game. How sad he looked on the sidelines was how I've never seen a sadder looking football player. He's on the sidelines. Like I was like, oh, somebody give that poor kid a hug. He looks like he's gonna cry.
Oh my God. Well, he got thrown out of the game.
But it took forever for him to leave.
He spent like 6 minutes at the University of Washington. He was a Washington wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And he's taken over the NFL by storm. And he had been out because of a knee injury, although he came back last couple of weeks. And then it looked like he had a recurring knee injury in practice this week. And he wasn't going to be able to play now that he was going to play. The whole thing, Migsy, the whole thing. And what bothers me the most, because I'm a Geno lover, I really like
me
Geno
too.
Smith. I like everything he stands for. I like the way he plays the game. You know, not since Sean Alexander, I don't think, and maybe you go back even beyond Sean Alexander to when Taron was in diapers.
Yeah.
That there's been a player, and I'm not sure exactly why. There's been a player. There haven't been many players on the Seahawks over the years that have been this polarizing. Geno Smith, for whatever reason, and I don't really get it because he came in under extenuating circumstances. They traded Russell Wilson. He's the ultimate underdog story, so we all gravitate towards underdogs. He had held a clipboard for 8 years, hardly played in the NFL for 8 weeks, comes here and has some success. You would think that he'd be universally cheered for, yet there's this, you see it on social media. There is this faction of Seahawks fans that can't stand him. And they just literally sit and wait. They lay in the weeds until games like this, until he throws an interception that goes back 103 yards for a touchdown, or he throws a second interception, or he has a bad game. They wait, and as soon as you don't hear from him after the Atlanta Falcons game when he throws that touchdown at the end of the first half and he wills them to victory. You don't hear them when they're 3-0 and he's the highest-rated quarterback in the NFL. They wait, and then they get a game like yesterday, and they pounce. They're all over you. Like, Geno, I told you Geno sucks. They ought to bench him. They ought to go get somebody. And those people just drive me crazy because I like Geno. And, you know, when he throws interceptions, they hurt. And then all these other Seahawks fans, you know, they pile on social media and it bothers me. So
I've never seen a guy with such a short leash when it comes to the fans. It's so frustrating. And then I think,
I don't know why.
He got sacked 7 times. I'm not saying those interceptions. I mean, a couple were like, oh boy, that was bad. And I was like, I don't even want to go on social media. But I mean, how do you expect this guy to play well when that offensive line is red rotten?
Well, you've touched on something that's interesting. You've touched on the kind of conversation that we have on sports podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, When you're, and I don't think a lot, look, everybody's entitled to their opinion, okay? Soundgarden is entitled to sing a song that's going to interrupt us here any second. Everybody's entitled to their opinion about sports and a quarterback. If you're out there listening to this radio station right now and you hate Geno Smith, God love you. God love you. Continue to hate Geno Smith. But the kind of conversation that we have on sports podcasts and sports radio stations and so forth is, you just kind of touched on it a little bit. You can't look at quarterbacks in a vacuum. You can't say, okay, how many interceptions has Geno thrown? How many touchdowns has Geno thrown? How many yards has Geno thrown? And let's compare him to every other quarterback in the NFL. And by the way, if you did that, especially in yards and completions, he would be at the very top. But that's neither here nor there. You have to, as you just started to do, something, Migsy, that was brilliant, and that means it was a mistake. If you,
I was wondering, I was like, what are you talking about? It's some crazy talk over here.
There are factors around every quarterback that have to be considered when you analyze a quarterback's play. How good is his offensive line? How often is he getting hit? How much pressure does he get? Yesterday, and there are stats and metrics to define all these things, Taron. Yesterday, I think it was 57 or 59%. He was under pressure 57 or 59% of the times that he dropped back. That was tops in the league yesterday, and I think over the course of the year, it's tops in the NFL. You've got to consider how many drops does he have, his wide receivers. You have to consider his number one wide receiver didn't play. Right?
Mm-hmm.
His offensive line can't block and protect. His offensive line, their run game is bad. All of these things, there are how many penalties brought back plays that he made. All of these things have to be considered when you analyze any quarterback in the league. And the truth of the matter is, whether you're a Geno hater or lover, those conditions under which Geno plays are amongst the worst in the NFL, and yet he has some of the best stats. Now, am I sitting here and telling you that the throw that ended up in 103 yards back the other way was a good play and that he should be given a waiver? No, he made bad play. He made a bad play. I for one, said on the podcast that debuted this morning, I said, if you go back and look at all of Geno's bad plays over the years, they have a common thread, which is very interesting to me. The common thread of Geno's bad plays are he holds the ball too long. He doesn't want to surrender a play, bail a play. He doesn't want to just throw the ball away. And I'm wondering why he's wired that way. There's a lot of, I think there's probably psychoanalysts that could give you an answer of that. But like that play that was an interception for 103 yards, he could, Matt Stafford, that was first down, Migsy.
Yep.
There were three more, it was first and goal. It wasn't third and goal or fourth and goal. There's a big difference between first and goal and fourth and goal. When it's first and goal, you've got three more plays. Matthew Stafford, other quarterbacks, would have thrown that ball out of the end zone a second and a half earlier than Geno. But Geno wants to make a play. Geno's going to hold it to the last possible second he's trying to make a play. And by the way, what Geno would say if he was honest with us this morning before Soundgarden, he'd say, well, wait a second. Yeah, I made a bad play because I held it too long there and I got hit as I threw. And I probably should have thrown it away a second and a half earlier. And Matt Stafford would have thrown it away a second and a half earlier. But if you're going to analyze me on that, then what about all the plays this season and other seasons that I make because I hold the ball a little bit longer and I take a little bit of a bigger risk and we score a touchdown on it? You got to consider those. Anyway, there's just a lot of factors around Geno that are making it very difficult to play that position in Seattle. And I would say to you, as you say, Mitch, it's time for Soundgarden. I would say to you guys that if you took every other quarterback, every other starting quarterback, and you put them into the conditions that Geno has, offensive line, drops, no DK the last couple of weeks, penalties, pass pressure, there aren't a lot of guys out there that could play the position to the quality that he's playing it under those conditions. That's what I would say.
You can give Mitch a follow on X. It's at @Mitch_Seattle, and he is the host of Mitch Unfiltered. We are going to play some Soundgarden, Mitch, and then we're going to talk more.
How did I know? How did I guess?
More with Mitch Levy after Soundgarden.
The Daily Migs Show.
He is the host of Mitch Unfiltered, which you can hear wherever you get your podcasts or at MitchUnfiltered.com. Good morning, Mitch Levy. We've been chatting about the Seahawks losing to the Bills, losing to the Rams yesterday, and that was such a brutal overtime disappointment. And we're coming into a bye week, which I think we really need.
Oh, God. The last thing you want to do, the last thing any NFL team wants to do is lose a crushing game to a divisional opponent at home, and then have a bye week. Oh, my God. We've got to sit and stew over this now for the next 14 days, Mixie.
Mitch, what's your opinion on the decision to not kick the field goal in overtime?
Yes. Yeah, so that's a good one. We spent a lot of time on it on the show today. There's two parts to it. The first part is the obvious, which is the decision that you're asking me about. I like the situation. As soon as they missed it on third down, I was yelling, go for it. So I was really happy. And so for me to sit here and say after they missed it that I didn't want them to go for it, they should have taken three, I'd be disingenuous. So I love the decision to go for it because remember the way the overtime works. They can kick the – first of all, hopefully Soundgarden isn't warming up. First of all, I've got lots to say on this. They can't block for a field goal. Forget blocking for a pass. They can't block for an extra point. Did you see the extra point that they missed early in the game?
Oh, that was infuriating.
The reason they missed that extra point, they can't block for a field goal. So who's to say they're going to give Jason Myers the opportunity to kick the field goal and they're going to get the three there? That's the first thing. And why do we keep having recurring breakdowns on punt blocking and field goal blocking and extra point blocking? Can we please clean that up? You know the last name of the dude that runs that? Migsy, do you know who the last name of the dude that runs that for the Seahawks, the coach? You know what his last name is?
I don't.
His last name is Harbaugh. You ever heard of that name?
Never heard of him.
We got the douchebag Jim Harbaugh's son running the freaking running the freaking special teams. He can't. He can't even design a line. We got the one Harbaugh, as Hotshot Scott said on the show today. How do we get the short end of the Harbaugh stick? Why do we get that guy? Can they please block for a PAT? I mean, the game against the Giants. You remember the game against the Giants?
Yep.
Lining up for a field goal to tie, and the guy jumps over the offensive line, blocks the field goal, and takes it for a tie. Can we please block somebody? Please.
It is crazy if we got that extra point that we wouldn't even have in a side conversation. We'd be like, oh, yeah, it was a tough game, but they I mean, yeah. You never know, but I mean, it feels like they would have ended up winning the game.
Going back to that fourth down play. So, A, we don't know that we can block for the field goal. B, I like the fact that they went for it on fourth down because, you know, they kicked the field goal. If the Rams come down and score like they did, the game's over. They lose anyway. I want to go at third or fourth and one. I want to go for the touchdown. I want to go for the first down and then go for the touchdown. Here's the problem, and everybody knows what I'm going to say. The play call. Okay, they bring in this jumbo package, and a jumbo package.
They really sold that. They're like, the jumbo package is coming. I'm like, what is this? Let's go.
Well, it's exactly what you would think it is. It's a bunch of extra offensive linemen and tight end. You really have no wide receivers in the place. And what you're really doing right there is saying to the Rams, okay, we're going to run it. It's fourth and a yard and a half. There's a big difference. You know, size matters here. Okay? There's a big difference between a short yard and a long yard. A yard and a half is a long yard. All right? When they bring the jumbo package in and the Rams call timeout, I'm saying to myself, please, dear God, there are some throws that you can make out of that package. There's like a tight end that you could release and you could fake, look like you're going to run it, fake it, and toss it to a tight end over the... There are, and I'm just saying to myself, I'm praying, please don't just line up and say to the Rams, we're going to run it and then try to run it, because you can't run it when the Rams don't think you're going to run it, right? You can't run it. You can't block it. You're not going to get it for a yard and a half if you tell the whole joint that we're going to run and then you just try to run and be better than them. You can't. You're not built to be better than them. We've learned this for the first 7, 8 games, 9 games of the season. So I hated the play call. And as soon as they snapped the ball to Geno and he turned to hand the ball off, you could have hit pause on my TV, pause on your TV. The play was blown up before Kenneth Walker even touched the leather of the football. The play had no chance, zero chance. So I liked the decision to go for it. I hated the play call. In fact, somebody said on our podcast this morning, one of the Seahawks guys, and I agree with this. If you're going to run it there on fourth down, bring in wide receivers and make it look like you're going to throw, or make it look like there's a chance you're going to throw. Open it up then run it in a little bit of a more surprise situation. I hated it. I hated everything about that fourth down play except for the fact that they went for it. I like that.
Well, let's get some rest this bye week, come back strong against the 49ers, and hope for a better tomorrow for our Seahawks. Mitch Levy, thank you so much. New episode is out now, MitchUnfiltered.com, or you can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mitch.
Now, Rockaholics, we are looking for someone who would like to beat Steve. And it would be very helpful if you were listening to the men's room on Friday at 5:40, because I gave out a cheat sheet with three of the correct answers for the 750 edition of Beat Migs. And he's got a record of 305 wins, 92 losses, and 54 ties in 2024. 206-803-ROCK. We will play Beat Migs at 750.
The Daily Migs Show.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.